Today Christ is born. Alleluia, alleluia. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, you know that we cannot place our trust in our own powers. As you protected the infant Jesus, so defend us and all the needy from harm and adversity. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he has said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely, and he became their savior. In all their distress, it was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 148 responsively. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise God in the heights.
Praise the Lord,
sun and moon. Sing praise, all you shining stars.
Praise the Lord, heaven and heavens, ye waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded, and they were created.
Who made them stand fast forever and ever, giving them a law that shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds.
Sovereigns of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world.
Young men and maidens, old and young together.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name only is exalted, whose splendor is over earth and heaven. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Hebrews. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here I am and the children whom God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death, and free those who all their for it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. Those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The Gospel of the Lord. I'm not very good at waiting for Christmas. This has been the case ever since I was little. I absolutely had to know what I was going to receive from and from who I was going to receive it from. So I did whatever it took to know. My plan of attack would take place on two fronts. The first one, I would gather intelligence from those who would buy me presents. I would slip in innuendos of what I wanted, looking for any subtle hint of reaction at each gift that I mentioned. Did they smile? Did they look away? Did they avoid answering? I became a human lie detector, able to detect any behavioral change. My second line of attack would be to search the house from top to bottom. It was no simple task for anybody to hide presents from me, and from my brother, for that matter. And so I looked and I looked, and I even searched the trash to see if I could find receipts that might indicate what I would be receiving. I just don't like to wait. And it's even the case today that I don't like to wait. I look at bank statements, see what my wife is going to buy me. I slip in innuendos. even when I was writing this sermon, I mean, she was good this year. I did not know until I opened the present what she was going to buy me. And I tried very hard. The anticipation was killing me. As a culture, I don't think we like Advent, because we lack this ability to really anticipate. We want everything right now. We don't like to have to wait to put up our Christmas tree. Over the years I've been alive, it went from being taboo to put decorations out before Thanksgiving to we hear Christmas music in conjunction with Halloween. By the time I have grandchildren, I think we're going to start putting out Christmas decorations right after Easter. Yeah, we just don't like to wait. We like to have the joy of Christmas right now. In a world that we live in, we like to rejoice in the coming of Jesus as soon as we can. And we don't want to have this anticipation anymore. Well, I'm glad to report to you that that time is over. To us, Christ is born. We're to rejoice. In the gospel readings from last week, we heard that Joseph had a decision to make about Mary. Was he going to leave her? Was he going to break off the engagement? But through a series of dreams Joseph had, God made sure that Joseph was going to take care of Mary. Pastor asked us, Wigiot, where is God in all this? Pastor, I pay attention to your sermons. We've seen the Christmas programs of the wise men visiting the baby Jesus. Jesus has been born to us. Emmanuel, God with us. So we rejoice. There's no need to anticipate any longer. We can sing, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. I'm glad we don't have to sing, O come, Emmanuel, anymore. And so we move from this anticipation to rejoicing and resting and knowing that God is with us and that we don't have anything to worry about. There's nothing during this Christmas season that gives us anxiety. Unfortunately, the text we read today, it doesn't let us rest and rejoice. It jars us awake. It asks us the question, Wigiot, where is God in all of this? Today we read about the destructive powers trying to destroy Jesus. Mary and Joseph are on the run for their lives. Herod has decreed that people, all males 2 years and younger, are to be killed. Are they going to make it? Is Jesus going to die before he can ever really save the world? Last week we hear that Joseph and Mary were pregnant, not of his doing. And this week we hear that the baby's life is in danger and they have to flee. They have to save the child. What happened to the joy of Christmas? The resting and the relaxation. Where in the scripture lets us rest in that comfort of God? Joseph receives news that he has to go to Egypt where the long arm of Herod doesn't reach. The Holy Family would be safe there. This anxiety that Joseph felt, I can't help but identify with. He had it rough. He was safe. He was faced with the insurmountable tasks and anxieties. There's already enough anxiety in having a baby. There's already so much to think about. And he has to flee for his life. I can't help but identify with that anxiety of having a baby. I just recently had one a couple months ago. Well, I didn't have one. My wife did. And the first time that we had a child was 3 years ago. And Enrique and I decided to have our first baby our last year of graduate school, which is seminary. We lived in Pasadena, and we wanted to have the baby in San Diego where the family would be. So there was some how are we going to get to San Diego when she goes into labor? So we found a nice place in North Park. It was a birth center. I just got to say that these things, you know, my wife had a lot of anxiety, but as a father, I had a lot of anxiety. Am I going to be able to take care of this child? I have to show this child how the world works, how to be a good person, how to rely on God. Am I taking care of my wife's needs at this point? Is she going to get all of her schoolwork done? I'm responsible for this new life? Wow, the anxieties abound. But it's not just the preparations that made me anxious. It was also the waiting. Is the birth going to go well? Is there going to be complication? What's going to happen if there is complications? Enrique was 1 week late before she went into labor. She decided to go down to travel to San Diego a day before her due date. So I didn't see her for almost a week. I received a call at 5:30 in the morning on a Friday. She said, "Joshua, I've been having contractions for 2 hours." And I said, "Okay." And I hung up the phone. And I grabbed my keys, I put on my shoes, and I was out the door. Luckily, I had my stuff already in the car. This was 5:30 in the morning, and I think I woke up halfway to San Diego. I was just out the door. And the birth was just amazing. There was a lot of my family in the room waiting and watching. But there was one particular point of real anxiety for me. And this was when the midwife asked Enrique to put her arms around my neck and hold on. That was the position she was in. So here I am standing on the side of the bed and her arms are around me and I'm holding her up. The problem was that I was holding all of her weight. The pain started in my neck. And it went down into my shoulders. And then it went into my lower back. And I was in no position to say, "Honey, I think we need to change positions." And right as I couldn't take it anymore, right as I felt like I was going to fall over, my brother comes up behind me, Jeremy, and he comes up behind me and he picks me up. And so here I am holding my wife and my brother's behind me and he's holding me up and he says, "I got you. I got you. You hold on to her, and I'll hold on to you." And I lost my place. The anxiety that I felt and the anxiety that Joseph felt were very, very real. "How are we going to go through this?" he must have asked. Yet through the whole adventure that God was placing them on, there was no doubt that's God who was the one who was leading them. It was God who was protecting them. It was God's message that guided them into Egypt. Every time Joseph needed God's help, God was there, and he was holding him. He said, "I got you." See, Jesus wasn't supposed to die as a child. God knew the plans that he had for saving the world, and that included Jesus growing up. King Herod was not meant to kill Jesus. Joseph and his family were supposed to wait in Egypt. And then God speaks to him again, and he says, "Go back, Herod. Herod is dead. All they have to do is trust that God was leading them, that God was guiding them." There are anxieties that we face this Christmas, being away from the loved ones, seeing those family members that always cause a scene, traveling to faraway locations, maybe Egypt, like Joseph and Mary, not trying to show the anxiety about the sickness that we may have or that our loved one has. There is anxiety during this Christmas season. How could I even say before that Christmas was about rejoicing and rest when all I have to do is go and return presents that I didn't want? How can I eat dinner at my aunt's house when all she does is talk about politics and they're not mine? There's so much to be anxious about. There's always something in the midst of joy, in the midst of relaxation, that we could be thinking about. And yet on this day, we celebrate that God dwelt among us. We celebrate that Jesus didn't die at the hands of Herod. We celebrate that through all our trials and anxieties, God picks us up from behind when we are weak. And he says, I got you. God has always done this. God has always been the one to hold us. God has always been the one to hold our faith, our lives, our anxieties. And it's in the end that God is going to be the one to make all things right. See, it started with the birth of Jesus, God with us, but all sin and death was dealt with at the end of his life on the cross. It was there that everything was made right. And we look for the promise that all will be made right again. God has always worked to be in relationship with us. And so we celebrate today that God is with us. But God has always been with us in our anticipation through Advent, through all our resting and rejoicing during the Christmas time, and even our anxieties. God has always promised to hold us up. And because of that, we can boldly say with the prophet Isaiah, I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because all that the Lord has done for us and the great favor to the house of Israel that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. Amen.